Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Job chapter 10. Job chapter 10, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. My soul is weary of my life. I will leave my complaint upon myself. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. I will say unto God, do not condemn me. Show me wherefore thou contendest with me. Is it good unto thee that thou shouldest oppress, that thou shouldest despise the work of thine hands, and shine upon the counsel of the wicked? Hast thou eyes of flesh, or seest thou as man seeth? Are thy days as the days of man? Are thy years as man's days, that thou inquirest after mine iniquity and searchest after my sin? Thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. Thine hands have made me and fashioned me together round about, yet thou destroyest me. Remember, I beseech thee, that thou hast made me as the clay, and wilt thou bring me into the dust again? Hast thou not poured me out as milk and curdled me like cheese? Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh and hast fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. And these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with thee. If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity. If I be wicked, woe unto me. And if I be righteous, yet will I not lift up my head. I am full of confusion, therefore see thou mine affliction, for it increaseth. Thou huntest me as a fierce lion, and again thou showest thyself marvelous upon me. Thou renewest thy witness against me, and increasest thine indignation upon me. Changes and war are against me. Wherefore then hast thou brought me forth out of the womb? Oh, that I had given up the ghost, and no eye had seen me. I should have been as though I had not been, that I should have been carried from the womb to the grave. Are not my days few? Cease then, and let me alone, that I may take comfort a little. Before I go, whence I shall not return, even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, a land of darkness as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death without any order, and where the light is as darkness. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, Job is speaking again, like it was in the last chapter, with some things that are quite commendable in this chapter. And then there are also some things that where Job has, it's like my daddy used to say, he put on breeches that were too big for him. Right? There are some things that are involved in that kind of speech as well. So in verses 1 through 7, Job gives himself leave to vent, to express his suit to God in a more unbridled sense, making supplication and argument to his God. It is a free way of speaking here and could be mistaken for sarcasm. I don't think it is. I think these are honest questions asked by a devout man in the throes of great suffering. So I think that we ought in this, at least in this part here, here in chapter 10, to give Job something of the benefit of the doubt. I can envision questions like these being asked, and them not being asked with sarcasm or rebellion, but being asked as a man suffering, and that honestly and endeavoring to remain faithful. He vindicates himself as no hypocrite, and notice the other thing that we desire to hear, Job, and that is in such a way, if possible, so as not to cast accusations upon him. We owe him that. We owe him, because he is an upright man, generally speaking, we owe him the benefit of the doubt here. And so in this first section, thou inquirest after my iniquity and searchest after my sin. And then he says, thou knowest that I am not wicked, and there is none that can deliver out of thine hand. And so Job is, in a sense, vindicating himself, but not in a faithless way. He will vindicate himself in a more faithless way later. But I don't think so here. I think we see Job's heartfelt crying out to God. And from that, I think we can take some courage. We can take some instruction and encouragement that there may be times when we are suffering in such a way, we may not know why, we may not know how, we may not have any relief. Be confident at such times as that you can express yourself to God and address yourself to Him. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, right? You know how the first verse in that chapter goes. I'm talking about 1 John chapter 2. I write these things unto you, beloved, that you may not sin. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So know that. Know that you have a mediator, an advocate, a defense attorney with the court of heaven, that is Jesus Christ. And so when you have a suit to make, you have standing in that court through Him. You can address yourself to God even in times of great affliction and suffering. Okay, in the second section, verses 8 through 13, he reasons in this section from God's creating him and the care and kindness shown to him in his creation and preservation. So up to this point, Job says, you have been kind to me. You have provided for me. You knit me together. You curdled me like cheese. Right? You poured me out and curdled me like cheese. In other words, you created me and sustained me. You have fed me and clothed me. You've taken care of me. And so I do trust you. And yet I may not understand what's going on. This is the point that Job is making here. Thou hast clothed me with skin and flesh, fenced me with bones and sinews. Thou hast granted me life and favor. Thy visitation has preserved my spirit. Now notice, and these things hast thou hid in thine heart. I know that this is with me. When he says, these things thou hast hid in thine heart, he's saying, I know you've done all these things, but there's no witness of it right now in my suffering. My suffering is such that these things, if I didn't know them from before, they would have gone from me. This, again, is an expression of the depth of Job's affliction here. Okay, so then in the next section, verses 14 through the end of the chapter, Job, like many under afflictions, considers his case. If I am wicked, woe unto me. If I am righteous, I will not raise my head. That is, I will not prescribe to the Lord what my disposition should be. I will leave that with the Lord. Okay, but now notice also that he is full of confusion, shame, and disrespect, ignominy. And in this portion, he declares that it seems that God has taken the part of his accusers rather than as his defender. And he is not accustomed to that. It surprises him. It startles him. So he says that of the Lord, that the Lord hunts him, that the Lord's power is pressing upon him, that many things witness against him, that he has changes and war. Changes and war, what are these? These are characteristic of dark providence. This is the kind of thing that has come upon me, he says. And so he also says here as before that he despairs of his life and desires to give it up. And when he says that, we understand that his venting has gone too far. His honesty has gone too far. He should have checked himself rather than to let such a thought proceed from his lips. Bad enough that we think it. Worse that we speak it, right? And so he has gone too far in that. Now, let's make brief use and then we'll be and then we'll be done. When we are tried, we often think upon the Lord's pursuing us and condemning us. We think upon that. Let us not be so hasty, but give room for his chastening hand to have its good work. This may not be condemnation, but sanctification. I don't want to say a lot on this because it's where we're going in the afternoon sermon. I don't want to preempt what we're doing there. But understand that when Job begins to ask, or even a little bit later in the book, to demand for some kind of respite, we do not have the ability, we don't have the authority, we don't have the right to command God to do anything. Job perhaps forgets that he is still enduring afflictions that are not commensurate with his sin. What does every sin deserve? The wrath and curse of God. We're also going to find in our study of Hebrews chapter 12 that there is something better also to focus on during times of affliction. When our Lord Jesus was afflicted, what does the writer there tell us? For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of God. Jesus kept his eye on that which the affliction was designed to produce rather than the affliction itself. Okay? All right. With that then, let's stand and continue praising.